Back in the day, when ocean liners were the means of transportation across the ocean, there was a liner going across the Atlantic Ocean, and there was a pastor on board who was asked to address the first class passengers. And the captain came to him, and he spoke on answered prayer. Now, in the audience were two gentlemen. One was a believer. The other was an agnostic. Now, if you don't know what an agnostic is, an agnostic is a person who believes there's a God, but isn't so sure there's a God. I imagine there are quite a few people today in our society that consider themselves agnostic. But there's these two gentlemen, and after the sermon, the gentleman who was a believer looked at his friend who was the agnostic and said, you know, what did you think of the sermon? Tell me what you thought. And the agnostic says, well, you know, I didn't believe a word of it. Now, the captain came to the pastor and said, listen, you spoke to the first class passengers. Let's go speak to some of the other passengers. So later in that day, he went and he was speaking to some of the other passengers. And a lot of the people who were at the first time of hearing him in the morning came, including the two gentlemen. And because the agnostic said, I want to hear what this babbler has to say. So before starting for the service, before leaving their cabin to go down to the service, the agnostic grabbed two oranges to take with him. And as he's walking along, he sees this woman, elderly woman, sitting there on the deck in a chair, and she's asleep. And she's asleep like this. So as a joke, he thought it would be funny to take the two oranges and stick them in her hands. And he did that without her waking up. So he goes, they go on to the service, and the pastor speaking, and it's all over with, and the agnostic is still like, what a bunch of hogwash. But he's walking back to his cabin, and he sees the woman, and she's joyfully eating her oranges. And he says to her, he says, boy, you really seem to be enjoying that orange. You know, he says it knowing that he's the one who put them in her hand, trying to be kind of funny about it. And she says, well, yes, sir. My father is so kind. And he's like, well, ma'am, I don't think your father's still alive. She says, oh, but my father surely is. He is still alive because I am sitting here praying to my father because I'm seasick. And I said, Lord, if I just had an orange, I would feel better. And I woke up and he gave me two. Needless to say, the agnostic became a believer in Jesus Christ at that moment because God answers prayer. That's a great story. Last week, we talked about two certainties, two things we can be certain of. And those two certainties are what? See, I'm always going to test you the next week, see if you were listening. What was the first one? Jesus is what? God. First certainty is Jesus is God. The second certainty is what? We can have what? Life everlasting. We can have eternal life. Two certainties that John in 1 John is trying to show us that we can have, that Jesus is God because God the Father proclaimed him to be God while he was here on earth. And the Old Testament is full of proof that Jesus is God's Son. And also, God spoke at his baptism. He spoke towards the end, before his death, when Jesus was speaking, was praying, and they heard him. And I say he also spoke at the Transfiguration, told the three apostles, you know, this is my son, listen to him. And we can have eternal life because it's been promised to us as believers in Jesus. So this week, I'm going to look at the third certainty. And the third certainty is that God answers prayer. So let's go to 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. We're getting close. We've only got a couple weeks left. 14 and 15. And this is what John says. He says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. Father, we praise you for your word. We praise you that we have confidence to come before you. and that you will hear us, and that you will grant what we request. With a few caveats, Father. I pray, Lord, that this word, these words that you've given me, will cut to the heart of those that hear it. And may you be glorified. Amen. Now, we can know that Jesus is God. We can know that we have eternal life. And those are great things. And those are things many people have come to faith knowing those things and learning those things. But the question is, what about life today? Life today is hard. Our life is not always easy. It was never promised to be easy. Anybody who tells you being a believer is easy, chances are they're not a believer. Because Jesus says, in this world you will have trouble. Now, there are times it's easy to get through life, but those are the times we're trusting in God. We're trusting in Christ. And when Jesus was here on earth, he helped people. But does he still help them today? And our earthly fathers, they give us so many great things. Shouldn't our heavenly Father also give us great things? See, John is telling us that we as believers can have confidence. Now, I want you to know that confidence, the word confidence, actually means freedom of speech. Freedom of speech. We feel freedom to go before God the Father on any issue and freely share with him and ask him and boldly ask him for things. Now, understand, I'm not talking, you know, say it and claim it and whatever it is they say, you know, if I just pray for this, it'll happen. That's not what we're talking about. And we'll get into some of the rules that God has laid down. Let's put it that way. Some of the purposes behind what we're asking for. But see, we have a confidence. We don't only have a confidence that there's going to be eternal life. We have confidence in this life. See, when Jesus came in his kingdom, he says the kingdom of God is near. When John the Baptist was saying that, and Jesus says the kingdom of God is now. We are in the kingdom of God. It's just not in full yet. We have access to God. We no longer have that curtain that blocks us off from the presence of God that was hung in the temple. Remember, it was ripped from top to bottom. It was opened. We have access to the throne room of God. We have access to God the Father through Jesus Christ. So our confidence is not only in the life to come, but in this life here and now, we have access to God. We can ask and he will provide. But there are some caveats that you have to think about. Certain conditions must be met. First of all, our hearts must be right. We can't just go to God and ask him for things when our heart is not right. We go to 1 John 3. Again, back in 1 John 3, chapter 21, or verse 21 and 22. 1 John 3, 21 and 22. John says, dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, if our hearts are right, we have confidence before God. Again, that word confidence. We have freedom of speech before God. We have the ability to go before God and talk to him and ask him for things. And receive from him anything we ask. Because, and here's one of the caveats, because we obey his commands and we do what pleases him. See, when we have unconfessed sin in our life, it blocks us from God. It keeps us from being in that right relationship with God. And God is under no obligation to answer our prayers. I know that seems tough. As a father, my kids, man, there are days they literally drive me up the wall. But you know what? I'll probably still, even in that end of that day, I probably will give them something they ask for. But many times I don't. There have been times I've taken things away from them. You know, Caleb loves to ride his bike. Sorry, because of what you've done, you can't ride your bike for the next 2 days. So our unconfessed sin in our life keeps us from God. Psalm 66:18 says, if I had cherished sin in my heart, if I cherished it, if I was living in sin, the Lord would not have listened. God is under no obligation to listen, to answer our prayers when we're sinning. Under none. But when we repent, he immediately opens the doors. He immediately answers that prayer. But we must not have sin in our lives. See, it's not only a right relationship with God and the right, it's about the attitude of our hearts. There are things in our lives that keep us from God, even when we're not sinning. Now, guys, husbands, did you know that your relationship with your wife can keep you from God? A wrong relationship, of course, not the right relationship. If we go to 1 Peter 3:7, he says, Peter's writing here, he says, husbands, in the same way, be considerate. Thanks, man. No, I'll be all right. Thank you. He says, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives. He tells them, treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life. He could have stopped there, but this is what he says. Why would you do this? Besides the fact, living would be a lot easier if we treat our wives right. He says, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Your relationship with your wife can either boost your prayers and help your prayer life, or it'll hinder your prayer life. But it's not just our wives. It's toward others. In Matthew 5, 23 through 25, Jesus is speaking here. He says, if you have an offering at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still with him on the way, or he may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. What Jesus is saying here is that I would much rather you be loving your brother and be reconciled to your brother than be offering me a sacrifice. To obey is better than sacrifice. Jesus is all about our relationships with each other. He wants us to be in a good relationship with each other. He wants us to love each other as he loves us. And he would much rather us be reconciled than for us to stand in an altar and give a sacrifice. Or, to be honest with you, he'd much rather have you reconciled than for you to be in worship on Sunday morning. If the only time you can go to meet this friend and to be reconciled is now, it needs to be done. Now, don't everybody get up and leave, please. But it's important. Our relationships with each other are important. Your relationship with other people will either help or hinder your prayer life. But it's not just our relationships with our wives. It's not just our relationships with our friends. It's our relationship with Jesus Christ. It says we are to abide in Christ. John chapter 15, verse 7. Jesus again is speaking. He says, if you remain in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. So here's what Jesus is saying. He says, if you stay in me, if you live your life as if I am the most important thing, as Jesus Christ is the most important thing, and if you know the Word of God and it changes your life and you're living the life you're supposed to because the words are written on your heart and it shows, he will give you whatever you want. Okay? Because whatever you wish will be given to you. Whatever you ask, if you believe in Christ, if you abide in Christ, if his word abides in you, if the truth of your condition spiritually is manifest in what? Obedience toward Christ and love toward others, you ask whatever you wish, with the caveat that it's according to God's will, you'll get it. Now, Jesus put this another way in verse 14 of John. And it's John chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. And this is what he says. He says, and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. So, if you take this on the surface, you say, well, if I want something and I ask for it in the name of Jesus, I'm going to get it. Right? No. That's not what Jesus is saying. I pray, you'll notice when I pray, I always say that, in the name of Christ. Now, that's not a stamp I'm putting on it saying, if I say this, God will do it. It's saying that I believe that what I'm asking for will be done if it's according to God's will and if it's according to who Jesus is. That's what this, that when we say in the name of Jesus. To ask in his name is to refer to all that he is and all that Jesus does. To say in Jesus' name at the end of a prayer does not qualify anything. It doesn't mean it's going to happen. It doesn't mean that what I'm asking for is right. I could sit there and say, dear Lord, help me win the lottery in the name of Jesus. What's going to happen? I'm not going to win the lottery. Okay? I'm not going to win the lottery. It's not some magic words that make it happen. It's the fact that my heart needs to be in the right place. If everything I am, if all I'm doing, if the way I'm living and who I am, I'm putting Jesus first, I'm going to want what he wants. God's will be my will. And I'll ask for things according to his will because that's my will. I want that. I want God to be glorified. God is under no obligation to give me what I pray for just because I use his name, his son's name. But I need to ask. James 4, 2 through 3 says, you want something, but you don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and you fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. I'll stop there for a second. When something's bothering you, where's the first place you go? Where's the first place you should go? To God? To God? That's our first. It's a lot of times we make it our last. Oh, well, I guess I'll pray for it. No, it should be number one. It should be the first place you go when something's bothering you. When you need something. When you lose your job. When someone's sick. First place you should do is pray about it. Pray about it. Always. When something good is happening, pray about it. Praise God for it. But James continues, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. It's not just because I ask for something. I got to have the right motives. Why am I asking for it? When we pray in Jesus' name, it's a way of saying what I'm asking for is consistent with God, God's will. It's consistent with what God's going to do and what God would want to do. There's a book called Liberating Ministry from the Success Syndrome. It's written by Stanley Jones. And he says, prayer is surrender. Surrender to the will of God and cooperation with that will. Now think about this. When I'm in a boat, anybody who's had a rowboat, and if I want to go to the shore and I throw out an anchor and I'm pulling myself to shore with the anchor, am I pulling the shore or am I pulling myself? I'm pulling myself. Even though I'm anchored in the shore, I'm pulling myself towards the shore. That shore is God's will. My will is to be in close to God's will. God's will, God's not going to change his will to match mine. He wants to change my will to match his. So how do we know? How do we know God's will? Because sometimes it's hard to know my wife's will. You know, I know her pretty well, but there are things that I don't understand. And I know some of you who have been married a long time, there's still things you don't understand about your spouse. It's okay. We'll understand one day. And we realize we were wrong a lot more than we thought. But it's hard to understand other people's will. It's difficult sometimes to understand God's will. There was a bishop over a century ago. He announced that it was God's will that heavier than air flight could ever happen. It was against his will. We would never fly, ever. Man could never fly in something that was heavier than air. He announced it from the pulpit. He wrote it in periodicals. You know what his name was? His last name was? Wright. He had two sons, Orville and Wilbur. Bishop Wright was wrong. But he was very sure of himself, but he was very wrong. We need to make sure that when we say something is God's will, that it truly is God's will. You go to the Bible, and you're trying to, let's say you're trying to figure out what you're supposed to do with your life, or you lost your job, and you say, I know what I want to do. I want to be a bank robber. I don't think so. There's this verse says, thou shalt not steal. Okay? You need to make sure that the will of God, that you understand God's will. Because God's will is knowable. And it's provable. If we go to Romans 12:2. Go to Romans 12:2. It says, do not conform. I know it says that. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. See, here's a sequence. If you're a child of God, we must refuse to be conformed to the world. The world should not influence us. Okay? I think the world influences us way too much today. It influences the church way too much today. Now, I'm not saying everything that we do that comes from the world is bad, because I think God can redeem anything. But we need not to be conformed to the world. And then we are transformed by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit changes us, which is an ongoing process. And we're all at different levels. Okay? We're all at different places. That's why we need grace towards each other. Because some people are a different level than we are. Some people are higher and longer in their transformation. And it has nothing to do with age, by the way. And as our mind is renewed according to the things of God, then we can know what God's will is. If our minds are transformed, we will know God's perfect will. But we need to seek it. We need to seek it by reading His Word. We've got to understand God's will is here. It's in this book. Now, you cannot sit there and say, well, where does God want me to apply for a job and find it anywhere in here? Granted, it doesn't say everything. I've said this before. What I say the Bible is stands for basic instructions before leaving earth. Basic. Just basic. But it can tell you to be at peace. It can tell you to trust in God. It tells you to not worry. It tells you how to change our attitude so that God can work on our lives. But there are times it can be rather difficult. And it requires patience. The one thing we are told never to pray for. Because when you pray for patience, how do you learn it? By be put in positions where you have to be patient. We always want to know it now. We are a generation. We are a people who want it now. And we want it our way. Burger King ruined us. I think it was Burger King. Burger King ruined us. Have it your way. But we want everything in our life our way. I want it now, and I want it right here, right now. I want to lose weight. I want it now. I want them just to go in and just get rid of it. But you know what? It takes patience and it takes work to do it right. God usually reveals things a step at a time, and He never gives you more than you're ready for. It's a step-by-step process. And each step is a step of faith. Because each time we have to trust Him more and more and more. I've learned that in my life. My life has been, there have been moments when I have to take that step of faith and just trust God. It's not that I don't know that God's not there. I know He's there and I know He's going to take care of me, but I got to take that step. And I learn and I grow. And I learn God's will. See, the way you get to know someone, I know Beth so well because I spent so much time with her and I spend so much time with her. If I got married and never spent any time with my wife, I wouldn't know her. So the more time you spend with somebody, the better you get to know them. And you get to know what their will is, what their desires are. Caleb and Abigail, it's great. They would, when Abigail was a little younger, she would ask for something. And it was something I wasn't going to give her. There was no way. It's raining. Can we go to the park today? No. And her response was always, maybe next time? And I'd say, maybe. And that made her happy. I don't think that's going to work when she gets older. Daddy, can I have the keys to the car? No, not right now. Maybe next time? Oh, okay. Yeah, it's not going to work. But see, they come to me and they ask. They know I'm going to give them an answer. Do you know that? They know. They can come to me and ask me, and I'm going to answer them. They may not like the answer. Sometimes I'll say yes. Many times I say no. Sometimes I say, wait, maybe next time. Now, I can tell you, I don't need to talk to you about the yes. The yeses are easy. When God says yes, whoo, it's easy. And you know what? When God says no, it's pretty easy too. You just got to understand it's God's will. It's those wait. The wait is what hurts. The waiting is what's tough. I've had to wait a lot in my life, and it's been hard. But you know what? He grows us. Because as we walk with God, and as we're obeying His Word, and we're obeying His Spirit, and we're relying on Him, He changes us. And we find that now we're starting to have the mind of Christ. And we're starting to understand what His will is. I look back when Beth and I got married and we first started trying to have kids and it just wasn't happening. And we had an adoption that was, we were told it was definite. The mom was going to jail as soon as she had the baby. She had no relationship with her family. You're going to get this baby. The social worker said, you're going to get this baby. Guess what? We didn't get the baby. And I was heartbroken. We came home and we had the house all ready for the baby, and I couldn't even sit in the house. I had to sit on the back porch for about an hour and just sit. And then we had to go. I had to get away from the house. I hated that. So what happened was we had to wait a whole other year before Caleb became available. God knew what He was doing. It was perfect. Caleb was perfect for us. But waiting is tough. It's tough. So the most important thing about prayer is understanding we pray by the will of God. If it's God's will, it will happen. If it's not, it won't. And we can know God's will. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, "For who has known the mind of the Lord that He may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." You see that? We can't know God's will. We can't know God's will without Christ. But we have His mind. We have the Holy Spirit in us. The Holy Spirit searches the deep things of God. And He's in us. And He reveals those things to us. And He helps us grow. And as we wait on God, He grows us. And we become so much more than we would have been if He had given us exactly what we wanted back here. We must take the time to ascertain what God's will is in a matter, especially by searching the Bible for promises or principles that apply to our situation. We should go to prayer and we should go to the Bible. The two things we need to go to. Once we know God's will, then we can have the confidence that we need. Because if we're walking close with God and we truly desire His will for our lives, God will give us our desires, because our desires is for what He desires. The key is wanting God's will and not mine. Believe me, things would be a lot different if my will was what was going to happen. And you know what? They'd be a lot worse. They'd be different, but they'd be worse than what they are now. Because my will is imperfect and God's will is perfect. Psalm 37:4 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart." There's some of the early African believers were so passionate about prayer that what they would do is they had a special spot in the jungles and in the Sahara, you know, in the tall grasses, the special spot that they would go and pray. And they would do it so much that they actually made a path that went to their spot. There you go. See the path? A path through the jungle to the spot where they would go and pray. Now, any of you who have been in woods, what happens when a path doesn't get used? It grows back. So what would happen is, if they weren't praying, all the other people in the village could say, "How's your path? Are you praying? Are you praying? Is grass growing on your path? Or are you walking that path so much that it is dirt? You've pounded it down so much because you're going to prayer so much." The townspeople, the village people would know. Not the village people, that's strange. The people in the village would know whether or not you had been praying. I had to ask that question. Is your grass growing over your path? Do you have the confidence that you can go before God and that He will answer your prayer? I'm not saying you're going to like the answer. Caleb and Abigail don't always like my answers. Many times they don't like my answers. But they know that I love them. And I will give them the desires of their heart if it's within my power and within my will to do it. And your Heavenly Father is the same. Matthew 7:7-11. Jesus says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you, if he has a son who asks for bread, gives him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to you, to those who ask? Whatever we ask, according to God's will, He hears and He answers. And if He answers, you have what you asked." Isn't that incredible? The Lord, maker of the universe, all powerful. There's nothing He can't do. And if we humbly go to Him and we ask Him in His will, He will do it. He will do it. But we've got to ask, and we've got to ask with the right heart. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up. Bill's going to come and sit over here. I'll ask Beth to sit over here. If you want to have someone pray for you or pray with you, please join them. Seek God. Seek Him first. And He will give you the desires of your heart if you are living in His will. And if it is His will, He will bless you. Father, we just praise You this morning. We praise You, Father, that You do hear us. Sometimes, Father, it seems like You don't answer. But we know that many times it's because we don't like the answer. You've said no. But many times You say yes. And when You say no, or when You say wait, it's for our benefit. So we can grow. And we can become more of what You want us to be. So that when You do bless us, it is far greater than it ever could have been if we had not gone through that time. Father, give us the desires of our hearts. Help our hearts to desire You first. Help us to always go to You first, Father. And let us pray with hearts that are ready and open for the answer You're going to give. So that we can praise You in the yeses and in the noes and in the waits. Because You are good. You're an amazing, amazing Father. Be with us as we worship, as we finish, as we go. May Your name be praised. Amen.